I think we should resume with our work. In the workshop, really, it's not in the chamber. We are allowed to enjoy tea whilst we are busy with some discussion. Workshop are meant for that. We should resume our work, and again, thank you very much for assisting us to save some few minutes. We have noted the hands of three colleagues who wanted to make a contribution. We should allow them to make their contributions. If there is another hand, we will always indicate to us if you want to make some contribution. Again, thank you for the bishop and the leadership for presenting their support. Broadly, for the reporters received by the workshop, is very helpful for all of us who are members of parliament to know to that and appreciate the fact that you are still with us. Very, very important, very important for us to engage in this. We have never engaged on the richness of issues or faith-based matters for many years. But today I think we are very tolerant, we are able to express our views freely, even non-believers, if there are any, they will also express their view freely. We have noted the three colleagues who wanted to make a contribution. They didn't submit their names. I guess they won't mind if I've given the numbers 1, 2, 3. I will start with the lady. 1, 2, 3, then they will then make their contribution. If the other members also want to make some contribution, I'll come to members of parliament. They can't be inviting and speak first. That the last one to say what they want us to do. Bearing in mind that parliament is still going to have sufficient time for us to look at the report. But raising questions for clarification will be very helpful, and some views that you want to express would be appreciated also for members of parliament. Umfundiswa one I recommend 80%. Umfundiswa 80%. Umfundiswa 80%. Not a recommend. It's too like a sort. Say lose your voting because the some niggas in vote. Thank you very much. And sis, you wanted to make a contribution. I'm told that you are an advocate. Let us allow your platform to take us through what you want us to note. Of course, really, if we don't resolve any issue today, you know all committees of parliament are open for public unless a decision is made in terms of the rules to close them. Even if we have made a point today, we can still come back to the portfolio committee at a certain time. Make your point again, because parliamentary committees are very open. And there is a long process that we are starting. Taking a report to the National Assembly takes a little bit longer than expected because it must be refined. Professor Bhutto was assisting us on some of the issues that we have to take care of them as we present our report for adoption by parliament. Let me take you then, make some contribution. You will also again introduce yourself, possibly an organization, just for record purposes.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. As mentioned before, my name is Advocate Nadine Badenhorst, and I'm representing an organization called Freedom of Religion South Africa, or otherwise known as 4SA. Now, 4SA has been engaged in this process with the CRL Commission right from the word go. And when the report first came out in February this year, we sent a comprehensive submission of 67 pages to the CRL Commission dealing with the contents of the report and the legal implications thereof. Important to mention that in this, we represented 6 million people in South Africa from a cross spectrum of churches, denominations, fraternals, and faith groups in South Africa. Particularly, to mention just some of the larger denominations and faith groups, the Jewish Board of Deputies, the Muslim Judicial Council, and then from the Christian community, the Baptists, both the Baptist Convention, the Baptist Union, the Dutch Reformed Church, the Alliance of Pentecostal and Charismatic Churches, the Old Apostolic Church, the Uniting Presbyterian Church, the Seventh-day Adventists, both the Anglicans and the Catholic bishops have come out strongly in opposition to the recommendations of the CRL. The Church of England, the AFM, the AOG, and so I could carry on. It really was a submission that was made also together with the Council for the Protection and Promotion of Religious Rights and Freedoms, who in themselves represent 20 million people in South Africa. Also, again, from different faith groups. And we made a joint submission to the CRL, wherein we really said to the CRL, as the religious sector in South Africa, we share your concerns. And members of Parliament, let's be very clear about this. The things that we saw on the screen this morning does not represent the Jesus that most of Christians in South Africa believe in and worship. That is not a representation of the gospel. The Jesus that most Christians in South Africa worship extends incredible dignity and worth to people. And we read in the Bible that people are made in the image of God, and therefore I want to be very clear that as Christians in South Africa, we distance ourselves from what we saw in that video clip this morning. We should not be put, as someone else has said already, in the same basket as those people. In fact, we regard those things that are perpetrated in the name of religion as a threat to freedom of religion. And we say, therefore, that we share the concerns of the CRL Commission. But we are saying that what the CRL is proposing to do about it is throwing the baby out with the bathwater, is a complete overkill. What we are saying is that clearly, where harm is being perpetrated, clearly, where illegal activities are taking place, criminal activities, something should be done about it. But what is the obvious answer? The chair lady has taken us through a host of laws that apply. She herself said that a number of laws aren't being complied with by different pastors. And she mentioned the Immigration Act and the Non-Profit Companies Act and the Schools Act and a whole host of legislation. Now that's just the point, isn't it? That where legislation is not complied with, what is the remedy? What is the obvious remedy? The obvious remedy is to apply the law. And the striking question I respectfully submit is, why has the CRL in this instance, where it came to the fore that there are blatant non-compliance with the law in very many instances, why has this not been brought to the attention of those authorities who are in fact in a position to enforce the laws against those pastors who perpetrate criminal activities? It is not correct, as the chair lady has said, that the prophet of doom would be allowed to spray hairspray or whatever other substance the next day, and therefore interdicts and such legal remedies are not of assistance to the CRL Commission in such instance. That is a factual inaccuracy. In fact, when one looks at the order that was obtained, it was based on the Harmful Substances Act, and the order was crafted in such wide terms that it not only pertains to the doom, but in fact to any harmful substance. In that instance, it was the Department of Health of Limpopo that went to court to obtain this interdict against the Prophet of Doom. And the court ruled against him. Now, there is nothing, either in the Constitution or the CRL Act, that prohibits the CRL Commission as the one who is there to protect religious communities, to create an environment where freedom of religion can flourish, where religious freedom and the exercise of religion can flourish, to do exactly the same. And that is the one question on which they've remained strikingly silent. Why hasn't that been done? So what we are saying is, yes, there are concerns, but what has been proposed here, namely the broad-scale regulation of religion in South Africa, the compulsory licensing of all religious practitioners and all places of worship in South Africa is a complete overkill. Let's pull this back a bit. Where did this start? With a handful of complaints against pastors who are perpetrating laws. From there, we're now jumping to the compulsory licensing of all religious practitioners, including the 95-98% of those who are legally compliant. This when churches are already heavily regulated by different pieces of legislation and spend their money, which by the way is not public money, on compliance when all they want to do really is good in society. As I mentioned, there's a host of laws to comply with. Advertising Standards Authority, Schools Act, Companies Act, Non-Profit Organizations Act, Immigration Act, Banks Act, Income Tax Act, Reserve Bank Act, these wages, and so I can carry on. In terms of the report, these are the laws which the CRL finds there hasn't been compliance with, but all of these laws have their own remedies for where there's non-compliance. So again, members of Parliament, I appeal to you, what is the obvious answer here? The obvious answer is where there is non-compliance of the law, enforce the law, rather than creating another law, which we haven't been advised who's going to finance this, how it's going to be capacitated, this enormously elaborate structure that is being proposed, but to, rather than to spend money on that. So I do want to say that there's huge opposition, and you need to be aware of this. There's huge opposition from the religious sector to what is being proposed by the CRL Rights Commission here. There are major objections, both to the process that was followed and the substance of what is being recommended. And it really is a pity that we didn't have Tanya's notice of the meeting by the CRL or the nature of the meeting, because then we ourselves would have brought some of the churches that I've mentioned before and the other faith groups along to also note their objection. Just briefly, on the process. The process that the CRL has followed to date is fundamentally flawed and is open to judicial review. Firstly, it is completely unscientific, the way that they've gone about bringing these recommendations. And what I mean by that is, when this handful of complaints was first lodged, and it's literally a handful of complaints, by the CRL Commission, they then decided, as would have been within their powers to launch a full-scale investigation into what they called the commercialization of religion and abuse of people's belief systems. What they did, again, within their powers, was to subpoena 85 religious and African traditional leaders. And they summoned them. Now, again, that might have been within their powers, but that was really perceived by the religious community already as a first act of hostility towards them. And they summoned them to come and testify with regard to a broad range of matters, including bringing along your training certificate, your certificate of ordination, come explain to us your statement of faith, bring along bank statements, a whole host of matters. But it was a random sample. 85 religious and traditional leaders out of the whole conspectus of religious leaders in South Africa. Again, what they were being asked to come testify about was narrowly defined as the commercialization of religion. Nowhere in the summons, nowhere during the hearing was it made clear to the religious leaders that the outcome of this process could potentially be the compulsory licensing of all religious practitioners and places of worship in South Africa. So there's a fundamental disconnect between what they were being asked to give input on and what is being proposed to you today. And that in itself renders the entire process open to judicial review. As such, what is being presented to you today, this report does not reflect the consensus of the religious sector in South Africa. And I want to make a statement to say that the religious sector in South Africa has not been broadly consulted. While this process of 85 interviews with religious leaders might have been sufficient to get a feel for what is out there in the religious landscape, it's certainly not sufficient a process if what we are proposing is a compulsory licensing of all religious practitioners and places of worship, which will affect each and every pastor in South Africa. So that's on the process. Then on the substance. On the substance, we regard the recommendations, the proposal of the CRL Rights Commission as unnecessary, unworkable, and unconstitutional. Why unnecessary? Because as I've already pointed out to you, there are existing laws in place for each and every concern highlighted by the CRL Commission in its report. And again, as I said, it's very striking. Why didn't the CRL then then go to the authorities and ask them to do something about these things, as indeed the Limpopo Department of Health has done, or in the case of Prophet Tim Omotosa with a sexual molestation accusations against him, where the Hawks actually arrested him. And there's now a trial against him for the criminal activities conducted in the name of religion. It's very important that from a legal point of view, we understand that the CRL is not above the law. They need to work within the Constitution, but they also need to work within the framework of case law that has already been laid down by the Constitutional Court and other courts. So, for instance, we know that the Constitution guarantees us all freedom of religion, but what does that mean? In the case of Prince versus the Law Society of Cape Town, a well-known case by the Constitutional Court, the court says that people, what this means, the constitutional right to freedom of religion, means that people must be free to believe, even if that belief is irrational, even if it seems bizarre, even if it seems illogical. Those three words. And therefore, whether we like it or we don't like it, whether we agree or don't agree with some of the things that are being preached or done, it is not the place of the CRL to say how religion should or shouldn't be practiced, except, of course, when there is harm or criminal activity, and where the law needs to deal with it. So we need to distinguish between practices that are non-harmful and which really fall in the space of freedom of religion, however bizarre, illogical, unscientific that may seem, that is protected. That the Constitutional Court has already established, and we can't change that. And in the instances where there is clear harm or criminal activity, where we should step in. So firstly, it's unnecessary because existing laws are in place. Secondly, it's unworkable. The chair lady has put on the screen the very elaborate structure from religious places of worship to peer committees, peer review committees, to right to the top of the CRL and then the peer review council who in itself will decide whether a religion should be allowed in the country or not. Now, if that's not a decision on doctrine, then I'm not sure what they mean by we're not going to interfere with doctrine. But again, we need to understand that even within Christianity, as our brother across the room has pointed out, there are so many different streams. We have Methodists, we have Baptists, we have Reformed people. Now, who are the people that are going to represent all these different streams within a particular religion? The same with the Muslims on that peer review committee. Because effectively what will happen is that a Methodist will now sit as judge over the doctrines and the practices of a Baptist, or a Reformed person over a charismatic. It's just unworkable. We furthermore have to ask ourselves the question, even if compulsory licensing were to be put in place, will it stop? Will it stop these people who are doing these things? If they regard themselves as only accountable to God, is this new law that we want to put in place actually going to stop them? No. When they eat the snakes, when they stamp on people, we will still have to use the existing laws to actually take them to court. We will still have to use the existing legal machineries to arrest them and then apply the laws. So is it a law? Is what is being proposed at great expense, both for the religious community and the state? Is it actually going to work? And I suggest no. Let's also remember that what is being proposed here does not only apply to Christianity. And while Christianity may have been the major focus here, similar peer review committees and a similar structure is being proposed for each and every other faith in South Africa, including also African traditional spirituality. Now, how is that going to be regulated? How is that going to work with the practices that some of them perform, which we know in themselves are often harmful or transgression of laws? And perhaps the major point that I want to make is that this, what is being proposed by the CRL Rights Commission, and we have worked together with a team of constitutional experts, is unconstitutional. The CRL, if you want to have a look at their report, on page 48 of the report, it says that the CRL, and we've seen it on the screen there, they are the top body who will be over the peer review council, who will be over the different peer review committees for the different religions, who will effectively be, in their own words in the report, the final arbiter in all matters of religion in South Africa. Now let's make no mistake, In terms of Chapter 9 of the Constitution, the CRL is an institution of state. It is therefore a state body. And if the CRL has the power to issue licenses depending on their determination of whether or not a particular person, they agree with the person's doctrines or they regard it as scientific or not scientific, and if they have the power ultimately to revoke licenses, as they will have in terms of the report, that is not self-regulation. So, members of Parliament, I want to appeal to you. Do not have the wool pulled over your eyes here about what is being proposed here. What is being proposed here is effectively state regulation of religion in South Africa, with the CRL as an institution of a state, a body whose chair lady and commissioners are appointed by the President in the National Assembly, ultimately being the final arbiter in religion. Moreover, if we look at the report, even on the different peer review committees under the CRL, it's very clear that the CRL itself will be presented there. And the moment we have bodies that are recognized by legislation, by the state as the bodies who will be in control of religion, who will say who may and may not be a pastor, what they may and may not preach, what practices are acceptable and what aren't, the moment they are funded by the state, empowered by the state, controlled by the state, we are talking state regulation of religion. And I want to submit to you that what the CRL is effectively trying to do here is a power grab by a Chapter 9 institution. And we've read much in the last few weeks, about Chapter 9 institutions overreaching their powers and prerogatives and doing what they, as Chapter 9 institutions, have not been mandated by the Constitution to do. Because, see, effectively for the CRL to be achieving what they are proposing here, that would require a constitutional amendment. The CRL is not an executive body. The Constitutional Court has established that. They don't have executive powers. They are an advisory body. They are a body who are meant, in terms of the Constitution and the enabling legislation, to create a space where religion can flourish. They are not meant to burden religion and to issue licenses, decide who and may and may not issue licenses. And therefore, this is a gross overreach of their powers, a misdirection in their powers. Again, I wish I really had the time to almost work through each and every slide here, but it really seems there's a great misunderstanding, actually, of the powers and the mandate of the CRL. And for one, I want to point you to the statement that was made that in terms of the enabling legislation already, the CRL has the mandate and the instruction, really, to compile a database of religious communities. Now, members of Parliament, I appeal to you, if you study the Act to Assault, it's very clear the Act says they may maintain a database, not they must maintain a database. There's also a world of difference between having a database of who are practicing as religious practitioners and where do they have their churches, and having a database where the Commission has a discretion as to who they're going to issue licenses to and who not. What the CRL is proposing will bring about a fundamental shift in the relationship, the hitherto relationship between state and religion in South Africa, which up to now has been a cooperative model. If this thing gets passed, we will be in a situation of state control of religion. A very, very dangerous path that we will set our foot on. This is a breach of freedom of religion if these recommendations were to be passed. Again, the Commission has gone to great pains to point out that they're not interested in doctrine. But this is really what it's about. Otherwise, why would we be in this room? Why would we be having this conversation if it wasn't about the outward expression that people give to the internal beliefs? And while all of us may today agree that it's not right that people get trampled on and stamped on, if we give this kind of power to the CRL and the peer review committees underneath them, where the CRL will ultimately be the control, the final arbiter, to decide who is fit and who is not fit based on their practices, based on what they do, today it may be snakes and rats and petrol. What is it tomorrow? Already, churches are being dragged before government commissions in South Africa and courts because of biblical doctrines. For instance, on the doctrine of giving a smack on the bottom of our child if they're naughty. Did you know that? Already, churches are being dragged before government commissions and courts because of their belief that God created us male and female. That marriage is between one man and woman. Already, that is being regarded as hate speech by the Human Rights Commission and other commissions and courts, equality courts. Now, can you imagine that the moment that a church is, on account of its biblical doctrine, found guilty of hate speech law, they will never get their license for preaching what the Word of God says with regard to these matters, which we all would agree on. And therefore, let's not stare ourselves blind against these abominations, these abuses that shouldn't happen in the name of Christianity, which does not reflect Jesus Christ at all. Let's look into the future. And let's be wise about these things before we just legislate and regulate easily. Let's not only listen to what the CRL Commission is saying, but what they are not saying. Because see, people won't just easily, and bodies won't just easily be accredited on the filling, mere filling out of a form. There will be criteria that apply. There will be an investigation into what is it that this person believes. How is it that their doctrines are being performed? So we need to be very careful. And again, religious practitioners aren't like doctors or accountants or other professional people where there's an objective standard against which these things are measured. As I've already said, the Constitutional Court has found that no matter how unscientific, illogical, bizarre, people must be free to believe. That is the essence of freedom of religion.
Let us allow her space to express herself.
Thank you, Chair. I don't intend to be much longer. In addition to the breach, clear breach of freedom of religion, what we are talking about here, if these recommendations were to be implemented, it would be a clear breach of the constitutional right to freedom of association. Because as people with common sense, we can understand that the right to freedom of association also means the right to not associate, to exercise the choice not to associate, and not to have to belong to one body or another, or not to belong at all. That is implicit in the right to freedom of association. And again, therefore forcing, because we've often heard the chair lady say, freedom of association in this instance will be applied because people, everybody must belong. They can decide where they want to belong, which umbrella body, but no one will be allowed not to belong. Now that is a clear breach of freedom of association. For this reason, again, I submit that these recommendations would not pass constitutional muster. So what then is the answer? We can all agree that something needs to be done. And again, I want to make it very plain. For SA, as a constituency of 6 million plus people, voters, that we represent in South Africa, is not for these abuses. It's not as if we want to protect these people, as has been said. We are against these abuses, and we share the concerns, the deep concerns of the CRL Commission. That is why, from the beginning, we have worked with the CRL Commission, while we have had many meetings with them to discuss their proposals, and we share this concern, and we still want to help them in order to come up with a solution that is ultimately workable and constitutional. But what we are saying is this is an overkill. And there is no direct or rational relationship between where this inquiry started, with the commercialization of religion, and where we are now, which is compulsory licensing by the state of all religious practitioners and places of worship in South Africa. So what then are we saying? We are saying, firstly, each and every concern mentioned by the CRL in its report can be dealt with by existing legislation. And we have a precedent of that even in the case against the Prophet of Doom recently and Prophet Timothy Amatoza. So there are examples of that. The law works. We need to apply the law, and the CRL can play an instrumental role in bringing those instances where they become aware of criminal activity and abuses being perpetrated in the name of religion to SARS, to CIPC, to Department of Social Development, to all these different institutions who actually have the authority to do something about it. Secondly, we are saying the CRL is in a wonderful position to educate our nation. And that is really where they should be focusing as an advisory body, created in terms of the Constitution to advise, to create an environment that is conducive for the flourishing of the exercise of religious freedom. So go to the different communities and educate the congregants with regard to their constitutional rights. As we heard Professor Gutter also say, congregants need to be aware of their Section 1 rights, their Section 2 rights, their dignity, and inform them of the legal remedies at their disposal where dignity is infringed or criminal activities are being performed. The CRL is in a tremendously good position to be able to do this. They could even prepare, as we put in our submission, prepare pro forma constitutions. Already in terms of the current law in South Africa, churches as different legal entities need to have constitutions or memorandums of incorporation. That law's already in place. It's a matter of enforcing it. Then help the churches. Help the religious communities. Prepare pro forma statements of faith even with the clauses that should be in that. Or prepare pro forma documents, constitutions, memorandums of incorporation. That will help them. Point them in the right direction, how to register as a marriage officer so that we don't have problems. A rapid response unit could be established within the CRL to really follow up about complaints that are being referred their way and to perhaps even assist the police to enforce the laws. And then finally, convene a consultative process of churches and religious groups in South Africa where this matter can be properly and thoroughly discussed. The South African Charter for Religious Rights and Freedoms, which is a document that has been agreed to already by 22 million believers in South Africa, provides a wonderful platform for the creation of a code of ethics to which pastors can adhere and agree to. And I would submit that the CRL would really be making a very valuable contribution to the South African religious landscape if they were to actually create a space where such a broad consultative forum can take place. Chief, thank you very much for the opportunity. As I said, Forest has prepared a comprehensive report which we would be more than prepared to make available to members of Parliament. If it's necessary to have a separate briefing on these issues, there's so much more that I could point out from a factual and a legal point of view, then we would make ourselves available to do that or meet with any other portfolio committee. But I do want to appeal to you to think very, very carefully before we just accept this report and recommend it to Parliament. It is really, to sum up, it is too much, too fast, too dangerous. And I thank you for your time.
Advocate, thank you very much for your input. Advocate, I hope that you will give us your document, your input. I think it's written somewhere. Just forward it to members of Parliament, because when they take decision, must always be informed by the current situation. You have put a point, and thank you very much for that. Let me check a person next to you. The point that has been made several times, again, we should be listening. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Bishop Sikumbuzo Matabela. I direct the UBIZO initiative of World Gospel Powerhouse. We want to appreciate the opportunity to have to speak and to engage with members of the CRL. I'm sure most of you are aware of the conference that we've recently held, gathering all types of leaders in Durban. We had Mam Togo there and some of the members to talk to the pastors. It was actually an experience for us, which we want to appreciate from Mam Togo for availing herself, because we were able to gather religious leaders, some of which are not in certain formations. the idea of new independent churches coming up, particularly in the black landscape, us who live with the people in the community and in the Lokshin space, there is a strong rise of independent churches. And these independent churches which are there do not feel, these young pastors, and it's not only males, just males and women, who have a gap between, should I say, the older religious authority which is structured, which is what we commonly know, for example, like the Catholic formation, the Methodist. We have all these young people, some of which are still at varsity, who have already started churches. I started my church when I was still a student at the university. And as you grow, you begin to realize some certain things that also creep in, should I say, as malpractice to the things that we do. For example, as a young pastor, some of the young pastors you had on the screen are people that I'm personally in contact with to hear what they think from a side view than the public view. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of these young upcoming pastors, some, in my opinion, are driven by the challenges of income. That I have this gift. The gift is from God, and I can touch people with it. And every time I'm perhaps praying for people and things are happening, and I do not have financial gain, it's only a natural thing for me to start attaching something to what I do so that I gain something. Now, what we are saying is that we, as the Ubizo, we want to build a bridge between these pastors who will not be able perhaps to get access to the already available formations which are there. We are talking about licensing. We are talking about, I personally do not think, from what we also gather from the ministers, a lot of ministers don't have a problem, in fact, with being interrogated what they preach and what they stand for. The issue that we all have is that, for my little difference perhaps from my sister, is that we do need a certain regulation that needs to deal with the malpractices, because it does work against us. Particularly us who are the young era. Every time you come up with a tent in an area to work, they say, "Bafika la bafana bamatende bazodlisa makunda." So there is also an unnecessary labeling, which makes it difficult. We do programs and train young pastors, and we are looking into that space to have these young ministers trained, to have these independent churches being able to align with something that can help them. There are issues of discipline that we share about, where a young minister, though gifted, can begin to include a lot of other things which may not even be biblically precise. But because he's gifted and no one is speaking to him, and he's suspicious of anyone speaking to him, these problems are there. So I believe that we do need some certain regulation. Maybe not to the extent that we wish, but we do. And we appreciate what the CRL has brought. What we have liked is that the CRL didn't go to hide. When we started off, I also hated CRL. And I was also praying against the CRL. I thought these people, the devil is using them. But when you start engaging them, I think Mamu Togo has been very appropriate. Because in the last Ubizo meeting, which we had in Durban, because we want to fill in that space. Because when you talk of gospel practitioners, you are not only speaking about people who preach. We need to understand that. When you talk about gospel practitioners, you are also speaking of the singers, those who are producing gospel CDs, gospel musicals, plays, theater, art, which are religiously related. So if we are going to say we are going to give a license only to those who are supposedly pastors, we're going to create a problem in the religious sector. And I believe that the opening of this dialogue to have to say our contribution has been very, very helpful. Perhaps it needs a deeper scale, but we are very happy with the initiative that the CRL has taken and the openness that they have had. In our last meeting, we have had some recommendations, which we also want to elaborate. We were saying some of the things like, you know, among the black pastors, I had the opportunity to help many pastors register their churches. Many, many pastors. And had also the opportunity to ordain and mentor other pastors. But this is what becomes a problem. Not all these young independent churches are making money. And not all these young independent churches are jumping on people. We need to understand that. And most of them are doing a serious work in the community, and they do not have land, they do not have space. So we find ourselves cramped in a classroom, abusing a certain building. And we need information and training for that. These pastors can't even be able to put a pro forma proposal of how to get funding anywhere in the world. They don't know. And we need to fill in that teaching space. We need empowerment in the space for it to work. They need to know, how are we going to do this? If at all we are a church here in Umlazi, and our church now has grown over 300 people, where do we get the land? If we don't get it, who gets it? You know, with the current structure, what do we do? So we put up a shack somewhere, which might be unsafe, untested, and which is not in appropriate municipal standards. And then someone may get it. These are all the things that are not done out of malice, but out of insufficiency of knowledge, training, doors, and opportunity. And one of the things that we said, particularly as the Ubizo mindset, we're saying, as part of our recommendations, let's have some certain centers which can be there to allow the young independent pastors to come out. So the CRL must keep opening more so that the hostility view changes. I was personally hostile. But as you engage, you begin to see something, then you change in something. Because the hostility is created by lack of understanding. And we don't know which door to knock. It looks like an attack. Umam Kaluva mentioned something very serious. When we start these churches as young people, we're not starting like missionaries who have funding from Ireland or UK or whatever. We take our own money to put it there. Because we believe in the calling. And it must be done. And we can't say we have an excuse. It's true we're going to invest our own money. Not in the life that we want God to owe us, but because we are persuaded by a calling to do something. I'm just finishing my sixth degree now. So it's not an issue of not studying and wanting a job. It's a genuine calling that makes us want to do this. And we will forego other opportunities. But when you start working in the community, you have limited resources. How do we get this done? But immediately, I put my water here for people to buy. I will raise the money to do my job. And when now you look at it as in, this guy is commercializing. We must be able to see the things behind. Let me finalize by saying this. Let our commission help us do the work. For example, put centers for us everywhere. If I'm a young pastor, I don't need to be an accountant. I don't need to be a legalist. Let's have an office where in the book that you write, even if we get one lady who's writing in the book, how much offering is there? What do we do? If you tell me, let me hire an accountant whom I can afford. You know, in the Companies Act, you have different sections of reporting standards with SARS. Because if the company is making so much money, it's considered an SNME. So it's not required to do this. We want something like that here. So a pastor can be able to pick the old lady or the boko or the auntie. And we walk into there and we say, this is what we got this year. These are the receipts of what we did. How do we deal with it? We have a lot of things that are not in place, not because we do not want to report. It's because we do not have the means to make the reporting. And we do the easier thing. And as long as we are not reporting, you don't know the good work that we do. So you only notice the bad work that we do. And what we are asking is that as Ubizo, we want the gap to close. We want a calling to be able to be trained, informed, and we want people. Since we had this conference, a lot of people are saying, where we get, someone even said, are we going to get licenses from Gospel Powerhouse? We hear that now you and Mambogas are going to issue license out, which is actually inaccurate because some of the people could not come into the meeting because they are afraid. We are very divided as a Christian sect. I think on the other good side, CRL is going to help us come together. I believe on the good side, CRL is going to help us start picking our wrong things. Because since these questions come out, we change practices. We change practices. We say, Usman Ban Bambi Zid, show what we thought when the wood. I'll take a cheat your mind, bang, I'll feed it me. You understand what I'm saying? So there is a benefit that is bringing some alignment. So we need it. I don't want to say we don't. We need it. But also, it must be accommodative. It mustn't come with the hostility that these young boys, these independent churches are going to grow. And trust me, they are going to grow. Because if you are a young, gifted young man, and you know how to do what you do, you can make money. And we won't get all that money reported. Because as we do this work, when we don't have, we have no remuneration. We have no provident funds. We have no medical aid. We have no housing. We have no high initiatives. We have nothing. So if we can come to a space where we convince our people to buy us good cars, so we look successful, post it on Facebook, and people say that pastor is powerful. He's driving this car. Let him come. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. And as Ubizo, we want to close that space. So that we produce a good harmony and build a bridge also between the young ministers and the older ministers. The independent, suspicious pastors who have done everything. I know a pastor who sold his house to buy a church building because he wanted a place of worship. And he has a conviction God has called him. So the sacrifices that even these pastors go through, the CRL in its monitoring hasn't got to the depth of it. And as much as we agree, which we truly agree and embrace, we want them to go a little deeper to see what is going on. And we want to build that bridge. What is the standard? How can we make it easy for ministers to access the information, get the training, and be able to bring a coherent, systematic partnership that can make our religious sector do well in South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob. No,
good afternoon. My name is Pastor Robert from Sosek in the Western Cape. A lot has been said, in which I agree. But what I want to say that from a background, I went to the Bible School of the Assemblies of God. Today I'm 65 years, which one of the things that I would like to point out was whatever one does. And as a student, when the Assemblies of God sent you to Bible school, you are not sent to Bible school to go and study because you want to be a pastor. You are sent to have knowledge of the Bible and to study more about what the Bible is saying. And out of that, then they place you under a pastor who is a leader of a church, so that you can grow from experience. So by the time you become a pastor, then at least you know what is going all about. So I will agree that this afternoon, I'm glad that I'm here, and thank you for the work that was done. But I also want to add with my, just an advice, to say if we have sat here this afternoon, somebody speaks, and the tendency comes that one becomes a little bit intolerant. And I think what is important, let us speak and say how we feel. But at the end of the day, South Africa can really be built by different views of seeing what is one saying, what is right. But at the end of the day, I'm dead sure we will achieve what is right. There is good things about the CRL report. And there is also good things about the comments which people are making. So I will agree, Chairperson, that what is needed in the church in South Africa, I am going to defer to say that we as black people cannot make things. All what I would say, maybe some of us are a little bit lazy to do research of what we want to do. If God has called you to do something, the same God is able to make you brothers and sisters to become what you want to do. Just going to mention a few things. As a very young man, my background was in the finance world of insurance. Nothing can tempt me at my age of 65 to do the work of God, to work for cars. I've driven the cars which my heart told me to drive when I was earning the money, but at this stage I am a man of faith. I am teaching people to do what the principles of God is saying. So, and what is important, the Bible teacher called his servants to comply with what the laws of the country is saying while you're preaching the gospel of deliverance. So that is my idea and my comment, and thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm not going to say a lot. I just wanted to comment two items. My dear beloved advocate has mentioned the hate speech and the freedom of religion in association. Honorable members, SOSIC had an opportunity to have a meeting with the Deputy Minister of Justice. We then asked Gauteng province to invite the Deputy Minister of Justice to come and clarify the issue of hate speech. We had a press release regarding this hate speech, and we discussed about that with the CRR. The Deputy Minister said if any member of the religion preach anything from the gospel, from the scriptures, will not be found guilty for hate speech. And we are covered, he gave us a letter to saying that if any member of religion preach the word of God, which doesn't have any hate speech, so it will, no one should have fear that they will be charged for hate speech. Unless you discredit other religion. Yes. But for my understanding, according to my statement of faith and declaration of code of conduct, there is no way that any member or a woman of God will have a fear of being charged or discredited for hate speech. We've been doing this for too long. It's just that it's our role to lead the nation, the government, and to pray for them. So we are not going to change what we have been doing according to the scripture. Now, the second one, Honorable Chairperson, and also the Chairperson of the CRR, you are in a better position to interpret because it's according to the our freedom of religion in association with freedom of religion. So, it's clearly, the document is there. It's only for us to educate our people, our churches, our congregation members. Yes, we might differ with other organizations. Hence, some of my members, they differ with the CRR. They wanted to take CRR to court. I then organized a legal representative from the organization to have a meeting with CRR. Then they were cooled down after they understand the purpose. Yes, for the first time, CRL sent some summons, but they explained the reason why they sent summons in the first place. But all in all, I would say, even after the review committee, the legislation has been passed, there will be some other people who will always not feel comfortable. You hear in Parliament, as you are the Member of Parliament, you pass the legislation. Some they take the Parliament to court, and some they are not even happy. So, men of God, you can't satisfy each and every person. Not at all. You can't satisfy them. This is the 21st century. There are some changes in the country. We have some people coming to South Africa. People young, the speaker, the bishop, is great, have just mentioned. Young one, they watch the television, The bishop is preaching, he's delivering, he's healing. They want to practice that. They've never went to school. They don't have a spiritual mother. They don't have a spiritual father. But they want to practice. That's going to harm other people. Yes. So we want to stop that. We definitely don't want to say. With the sourcing we are saying, we already started while ahead and CCRF. We already started. We already grouped 3.6 million members and congregations. I've got a church, one pastor, 70,000. When they have a night vision, all roads are closed. So municipality wanted to evict them there because they're making noise and so we have to come intervene. They said, no. Let's control the voice for the neighbors should not have a problem. So we need a structure to make for monitoring system, for monitoring how we run our affairs, for data capturing system. Some of our churches, it's a front, Honorable Chairperson, we are selling drugs in our churches, behind the door. How will you see a pastor having five members in the church driving Rolls Royce? His lifestyle, it does not go with according to his number of the church members. So we are saying, if we capture data for all members, we give them a license. We already gave them a license. It's not legal. I'm not a legal person, but what we are doing is not legal. By partnering with the Home Affairs and assisting members to get a managing officer license, by ordaining pastors who are not ordained, we want to make sure people are not contacting people that are not even sure that they are pastors. You know, I happen to have Honorable Chairperson, I happen to have a members of Zion Church. Zion Church have got their own faith. Yes. So now when we start this thing on the 28th of August, they came to our events and they said, we want to have a membership. I said to them, with pleasure, we'll give you a membership, but we believe in the prophetic voice. We are the charismatic churches. And then we have to go through our interview. We have to call you. So then they realize that they are doing something that we are not doing. And then the only way to correct them is when you have a body, when you have a founding statement, when you have a statement of faith. So you can't just run a church because, well, it's a church, I'm making money. Some people, they've got this mind of making money in the church. And they, when you try to correct them, they said, it's my colleague. I've inherited from my father. You can't tell me anything when the Spirit or Holy Spirit speak to me. Men of God, I want to tell you, I'm an archbishop. I'm leading bishop. Some of them, they are much more senior than my age. Bishops who have been in 40 years experience. I'm having a bishop here. You've got more than 8 branches of churches. I've got bishop who've got more than 20 branches. As I said to you, one each church, bigger churches, they've got 70,000 members. But when I sit with them, they understand that we need to have a body. That is why government doesn't take us serious. Our government here, they don't take us serious because they realize we are not organized. So we are supporting the CRL to assist us to organize. Yes. And once we organize, then our government will listen to us. We will be able to assist them. We are not in a competition with any other person. No. We are the spiritual father and mother to guide and lead. Yes. That's why I'm saying it is very much important to have a body like the medical council, the dental council, the lawyers council, the engineering council. We have that one. We will have our own self-regulated body. Other mainline churches, your honorable chairperson, some of them, they've got their own body for some years during the liberation struggle, South African Council of Churches. They've been operating under the similar federation. But we wanted to be independent churches. They were not recognized some other time. So now in the 21st century, we are saying to them, let them recognize them and let them bring all together so that when government, like your portfolio, call us, we will come with one voice. Like as today we are sitting here as one body. In Christ, we are one. We are in spirit. We are one. Irrespective whether we are white or black or Indian, we are only one. And in the house of the Lord, we are in five folds. We have teachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists. So among them, we are one. Names of churches doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. The only problem now in 21st century, people want, because of the socio-economic challenges that are taking place, people want to make money out of the name of God, out of the name of the caller, out of the name of Jesus Christ. It's not about calling at the moment. So now we wanted people who have been called in the Lord using water, they must group themselves together. And somebody saying, I want to open a church and use water, they must say, no. You are not doing the right thing. And people who are being called in an academic, in a university, somebody was from the university must say, oh, how did you get a calling? Because I can lie to you and say, I received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit says this and this. You know, if I'm the Holy Spirit speak to me, must also speak to you as well. Because we are one in the Spirit. My honorable chair, may I just stop here? I don't want us to say more and more. Because all I'm just saying, I'm in support of the CRL report. A lot has been done. And I don't think it's the end today. You are going to take it to some other channel. And if some people wanted to make some provision for submission, they can still submit to your office. Or to CRL as well. Thank you so much. May God bless.
Thank you very much, Bishop. And, it's a very difficult subject, isn't it? I hope that we, surely we can all of us speak also. Because Bishop and other colleagues have already made a position. Also members of parliament, they may want to raise some issues. I must allow them platform to do so. Baba, Bishop, now Baba. You are a pastor. Don't watch my idea.
Thank you so much. Just 5 points I just want to put it to the committee, which we actually discussed with the Shadow Commission on our response to the draft that we had. So I'm not going to go into details as of Nanga Shumae. So I think one of the things that we raised with the commission was that the powers of the Shadow must be defined properly in the structure. And we can learn from the current constitution that when the people that were drafted it in 1996, they had a blind spot and put all the powers at the presidency, not thinking that you might have a conflict. So once you have a structure, the powers must be defined clearly. So I won't go into detail, I'll just leave that for that debate. And the other thing that we raised was the issue of doctrine, to protect doctrine, because when people touch doctrine, that actually becomes very issue, so which the commission were happy with that. And the other point we raised was the separation of state and church or religion. That's very important that we raise. Autonomy of the local church. And then the last one, which seems to be debated a lot, was the protecting the freedom of speech that came which Bishop was. I think those 5 points, it would be good if it can be drafted in the report. It must, people must see it very clearly. It is there, five. It is there. And I won't go into other details, but I thought those were fundamental one that we put to the with the commission when we met with them. And I will just stop right there.
Okay, Bishop Matabele, we see a hammer. Yoshimayela man. Colleagues, let us proceed. Let me allow members if they want to pose some questions. Yes, Honorable Douglas.
Is it on?
Yeah. Okay, sorry, because I'm not on the lead committee, I'm not aware of any discussion on process or anything, so I'm just hoping that we'll leave here with a clear understanding of what process we can expect. And obviously, from what I've been hearing, it seems really important that this is a first step. Maybe a step in the right direction, but a first step, and that we have to take this, we've got to get this right. So we perhaps need a full public process here at the level of the committee, but I'm a bit out of the loop in terms of what's already been discussed on that, but it would be great if we can get some idea there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Honorable Phumzile Bengu. I'm from KwaZulu-Natal. My question is around the issue of representation of women, because I have seen that the pastors here, most of them are the male pastors. But I don't know what happens to the representation of women pastors. And the other thing is around the issue of language that the CRL has spoken, whether that language has been communicated to the people on the ground, because we have seen that some of the people that are protesting are those who are being represented here by the pastor. Whether do they have any communication with the people on the ground on the issues of what the CRL, the commission, has done so. And also to say that as the Portfolio Committee on Women, we would like to invite the CRL to talk on the issues of representation of women. Because we have known that most of the people that go to these churches are the women. The people that are suffer, the people who are sprayed with domes are the women, and those people that don't even know their rights. And the other thing is the issue of disabled persons. We have seen that mostly disabled persons are being undermined in churches, where we have seen the churches saying that they are able to heal them. Especially I am a person with a disability, I even am able to go to the church because of the accessibility in the churches. There are steps, people they are being undermined. You find out when you go to the church, then you will see that the pastors will preach on the Bible using the language that is in the Bible that discriminating the people with disabilities. I don't know whether the CRR has also looked at the issue of what languages is used in churches. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Ngilingelela abafundisi ngegama lika Jesu Kristu. Ngiyabonga ngazi ukuthi ngihlekwani kuNkosi. Ngibonge nokubona Nkosi yami ubaba uMsanyana eduzane la. Ngithi konke lokho siyabonga. Oscar Spalova, mina ngiyabonga ngoba kade sasifisa leli thuba njengalomnyango wethu ka Women and President, because izinkinga esibhekene nazo zinkulu, especially njengabantu besifazane esimele leli komiti. Ngibonge nakusihlala ukuthi ekugcineni bakwazi ukuthi invite us ibe yiphathi yale meeting. okwami nje lana ngifuna ukwazi sesibonile izinto zenzeka lapha besizazi bendlela ezikhala ngazo okungiphatha kabuhlungu kunakho konke yiloku kweingane zesikole iingane zesikole kuyimanje manje khona elapha kuthina akasiyi isikole esithiwe senumber 8 kuseyiqalile ukuhayisa okukhombisa ngakho konke ukuthi lelizwe lethu sisacindezelekile kusekhona la bantu abangafuni ukubona liyaphambili ngoba if bebulala iy'kole bengafuni ukuthi iy'ngane yifunde beza naleyo amasathanes abo lezindlozi esiyibonayo ezimnyama bhuqe eziwu-7 kusho ukuthi bakhona ba-behind ukubona lelizwe lethu njengamala i-South Africa siyaphansi and bese ngibuyela kula bantu bokufika ngiyazi ukuthi as a government abantu bazosizwa kabi angisho ukuthi abaxoshwe but umbuzo wami uthi yini eyenza ukuthi umuntu asuke ezweni lakhe eze la e-South Africa kalula uma ifika la e-South Africa kalula sethatha iBhayibheli seqoqa abantu uzobakhipha okuqala bakhiphe emasikweni abo gcine imindeni ingasezwani sikhala kangaka nje ngale nto mina ngokwami ngibabona kuyizigebengu zokuqala bekufanele silwisane nabo so-government ngoba already la ubani lobatshela la e-South Africa thina sikhona ngoba sinazo iy'nkolo esikhule zikhona amazayoni ama-methodist maningi amakholo ebela kungani bafike bona babone leli zwe lithi asikhona mina-ke ngithi ngokwami sizokulekelela laba abathi bazokubopha bakubophele mhlawumbe befisa noma becabanga ukuthi uboshwe sizokulwa ngoba siyazi thina inhloso ithi kuphi and naleli bhodwe ngoba kufuna ukuthi uma ngabe ukhuluma ngenyoka zama ubheke ukuthi qhamukaphi leli bhodwe liphekwaphi uyabona into eyenzakalayo lelizwe stili liyabonakala ukuthi li-rich bazama ngayo yonke indlela ukuthi bakhiphe konke lokhu esinakho ngoba kwalokho nje ukuthi sizodlala abantu bakwamanye amazwe besikhiphe emasikweni ethu nasey'nkolweni zethu ebezivele zikhona kukusebukela phansi ngoba befuna nomnotho la ngiyabonga umfundisi wami lapho ngaphesheya kuyiqiniso elingeke liphikwe la bantu uzubona ukuthi banobugebengu phakathi abazile ngebhayibheli nangenkolo inkinga yabo iyimali laba labantu bafika baye la kakhulukazi la emadolobheni emphakathini uthole ukuthi wena uzobheka ukuthi bayashumayela kanti abashumayeli badayisa inidakamizwa mina ngihlalele elokishini uthole ukuthi umgwaqo wonke ugcwele lamasonto uma ngabe bekhuluma izwi kankulunkulu waye bengahlangani indawo eyodwa mina ngithi ababuyele emuva and okwesibili lokhu kokudayiswa kwezicubo kusafika nabo futhi and ezinye zezinto lezi nabantu bakithi mina ngifuna ukuthi bezwe nabo mina ngasho ngesizulu ngithi bangathatha ngoba kufanele wena uyibuze ukuthi kungani lo muntu afike ezweni lakho azokutshela ukuthi yeka lokhu yenza lokhu why ma ngabe right angakwenzi kuyimanje ngiphatheka kabi khona njabe ngifuna ngizobe ngimbuze ziphi idumbu zethu ezafela outside nalapho uma bebuyisa idumba sibuyisele okungezona ziningi izinto commissioner esisayifuna ukuyikhuluma mina bengithi lilonke nje funeka kwazeke ukuthi thina as sikuhlala kuleli portfolio committee sisenkingeni sakudinga ngoba nalokubulalana okukhona kuphakathi kubona labafundisi laba yibo kanye futhi lako-West Street eDurban othola ukuthi bakhiphisa iy'ngane ile nto izisu zigcwele umgwaqo yini other side baphethe iBhayibheli other side benza ini ubugebengu igebengu lezi mina ngokwami ngithi la bantu bakuya ngami akufuneki nokuthi nize nibafake kulolu hlelo oluhleka ngake seniluzama lokulifoma ngoba wena bewusuke manje uye emazweni abo ngeke wena ufike lapha yani wenze yonke le nto abayizoyenza kuleli zwe lethu abahambe bayolungisa iy'ndawo zabo thina salwa lana before 94 sasingalweli bona sasizilwela thina ukuthi kulunge mina ngiyajabula mangabe usihlalo wami kwazile ukuthi abize nina la bafika abafundisi bakhombise ukuthi bayimisele ukuthi kusebenzisane no-government ngoba ekugcineni iy'nkinga zi-affecta abantu abantu bethu akukho noyedwa umuntu ungathatha manje umuntu okhubazekile azethe sho nama-back pain uthi amise kubona uthi akathandazele I can tell you akekho umuntu oyombona esindile instead of that ukuphela imali kuphele yonke into mina myself ade ngisasingakezi like epetan eParliament bengenza sure ukuthi ngeke uthi uyilida kufike izinto emphakathini nawazi mina bengiya kula masonto bebengiphephetha ngiyimele nje bethi fire ngibe yilonto ngingafiki ngingaboni nokuthi kwenzakalani ayikho leyanto labantu banabantu abahlangana nabo benze lobusebenzi ubugebengu but kuyimanje uma kukhulunywa ngendlela kankulunkulu waye kuthiwa nansi i-akhawunti kwi-screen se-TV khokho 1000 uzothola umsebenzi and bayahlupheka bonke labantu abalapho and nabantu bakithi banenkinga la ekhanda mina lilonke nje la masonto awukufika afika kuspecial manje after 1994 befanele abhenishwe wonke ngoba thina sasingazabalaziyeli lapho inkolo thina sinayila e-South Africa sinazo iy'nkonzo zethu esikhulu esikhona esigugela kuzona ngiyabonga sihlalo sangathi le nto yenzile imnandi ngoba khona la ungilaphe khona and sisakufuna and sangathi lo mhlangano enje bingahamba and ke mina into esekokugcina nje bengizocela la ukuthi lolu hle ngiyathanda ukuthi ukuze sikwazi ukulwisana nalento first number one kufuneka amakhansela ney'nduna namakhosi babe phakathi ukuze bazi each and everything ukuthi leli sonto lifikile lifike nani ligqosha kuyimanje lapha senumber 6154 kubanjwa abantu inkunzi umfundisi la ukutheleza ubhizi uyamemeza ushofaya lana oharamashata yabo abantu abasezwa ukuthi nabo abantu babanga inkunzi why bebanga umsindo mina ngokwami ngithi amasonto lawa akabhenishwe hayi ukuthi mavumele ukuthi ngempela nakwathola ukuthi angenza ngaphansi ngoba awubulalazi andike nalaba bokugcina khona lezi ezizihamba uvumile sonke kuyena kunabantu abangemuva abona makhona i-channel ku-TV i-3W4 ngithinte njalo ma ubuka lapha kuyasho ukuthi ma ufuna nawo nami nje ezi-onerepkawula ningangibona sekunenkunzi yesonto kunabantu ababafandayo labantu kuthi kuzobulala le-South Africa kuze kugcineni le South Africa ingayi phambili ngiyabonga sihlalo
I'll try and summarize what the honourable member said. She said a mouthful, I must say. She first appreciated the presence of Babu Lekganyane, and she said that she's very grateful for his presence. Then she thanked the chairperson, Mrs. Kaluvo, and she expressed the fact that this meeting is long overdue because there are many issues which need this commission, issues that can be resolved by this commission. Then she started with a school in the area at number 8, and she started that problems have already started in the area because a student are behaving in a satanistic manner, and they are screaming and they seem like they have satanistic influence in them. And then she also expressed her views that it seems like someone is trying to bring this country down. She then also touched upon these foreign nationals, that some of them, not all of them, some of them they come to this country and then they convince people to change their culture and their religion, which results in conflicts. They are the ones that we should actually be dealing with. She also expressed that the Committee for Women in the Presidency will give this commission all the assistance they need, all the help they need, because other people are realizing that South Africa is a wealthy country, so they come here with odd intentions so that they can milk all our resources, and they benefit negatively, which doesn't go down well with our people. And also, she also stated the fact that some people are using religion as a front. For example, some of them are using churches to sell drugs and so on and so forth. She also touched upon the body parts that are being sold currently lately. Women are being killed and children, and their body parts are being sold for multi-purposes or other purposes. She also emphasized that most of these criminal behavior are also coming with the foreign people from foreign countries or foreign nationals. She also expressed a disappointment that our people are so easily influenced. This is why we find ourselves in so much trouble, because they follow foreign habits, and then at the end, we trouble follows after that. Also, abortions, there's advertisements everywhere on trains and public areas. Most of these operations or most of these abortions are done by people from outside. So she also expressed that if you go to their countries, you won't find them behaving in such a manner or conducting such activities. So they come all the way from their countries, they come to our country, then they leave us with all these problems. And then she also thanked the CRL for actually bringing everybody in one room, then the honorable members, the religious leaders, and people in general, so that we can be in one room, discuss these issues, and try and find a way forward. And then to summarize, last but not least, her last point of departure was, if it was up to her, all the churches that came to South Africa after 1994 would be banned, because when they were fighting for freedom, they were fighting for freedom for South African people. But now we find these foreign people who come from outside with their foreign habits, and they come and influence our country with such bad habits. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to ECRL's report. Thank you to the Bishop, the Reverend, and everybody that contributed towards this meeting today. I'm happy that this report is still going to go to Parliament for more perusal, as well as maybe addition and maybe suppression of some other things. Chairperson, and the Kulman is the response. Chairperson, before irreligion, if you get up in South Africa, if I'm correct, families had a way of worshipping. Now, without reversing back, I want to emphasize the CRL responsibility. Professor Goto put it very clear, so that all of us, when we leave this house, we know exactly the responsibility and the mandate of the CRL, that it is an organ of the state. That we should not shy away from it. It's an organ of state. It is a section 9, chapter 9 of the Constitution. And section 31 is telling about right to religion. It must be able to organize proper structures for this country. If I remember very well, in the olden days, when we were still being ruled by the British, I'm a Britain. They made it very clear, Ukuba ama Catholic maganga again in South Africa. And it was made, and it was accepted. And both again go into Ukuba, if the state today decides to send the UAPC, says I will forget what you want, Yoba, the religion, it, and its state is sitting between Ukuba, let chapter 9 institution, Mike Kubege, Yoba, because before 1652, if I'm very correct, Kwangeko Nkonzo, kwafika uBartholomew Dias apha ngo 1487, walandelwa nguVasco da Gama 10 years later, weza nemissionaries ezivele Portugal, etc. I just want to ndibuyele emva. So that means into yokokuba le nto yereligion masingatyatyekwa emehlo, so that kubekho abantu abathi the CRL. Our government on a mandate of protecting the people and the citizens of this country. So ECRL as a chapter 9 institution to organize proper structure so that the citizens of this country are protected. If you see BLM Vakakulu, we know exactly why religion came. Okay, fine. It probably may have helped towards a social power and cultural collecting of youth, etc., etc. So now that we are in the 21st century, I think it is appropriate in Doba, siyeke ICRL, yezimsebenziwayo, and then Parliament will get the report, and Parliament will see how fit it is to protect, because the horrible things that are happening up ebantwane abantwana abanye abasayi ezikolweni because of these charismatic churches ezifike yesterday. Nkosi Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. It's been a very interesting morning, very interesting day. I am, however, concerned about some of the comments expressed that are borderline xenophobic. And I think that in a religious context, we are supposed to be preaching tolerance for each other. We should be preaching an environment where we are accepting of other people and other cultures and other religions. And it really worries me when people start talking about foreigners and foreigners doing this and foreigners doing that and foreigners doing the next thing. And I really think that you as the chairperson need to call those people to order and dial it back in a bit. Chairperson, let me start with the report itself. Chairperson, one of the primary purposes of this report on page 6, it says, is to identify the causes underlying the commercialization of religion and traditional healing. And honestly, if I look at this report, it's very heavy on process and very scant on findings. There's literally 2 pages on findings. And nothing in the findings talks about the commercialization of religion or the causes of commercialization of religion. It talks about what the effects are of commercialization of religion, but not what is causing it, why people are doing it, what is making it happen. Chairperson, other people have spoken about the scope and the sampling of the report, so I'm not going to talk to that. I would like to address Professor Gutto, if I may, on the constitutionality of the proposal. And in particular, I'd like to refer him to section 185.2b of the Constitution, which talks about the powers of the Commission. And this is to the pastor who was asking for the powers to be clarified. It's spelled out in the Constitution of South Africa at section 185.2b. And it says that the powers of the Commission are to monitor, investigate, research, educate, lobby, advise, and report. Now, my question to Professor Gutto is this. What in the Constitution gives the CRL the right to regulate religion? Where does it talk about the right to administer religion or organize religion? It doesn't talk about that. It talks about monitoring, investigating, researching, educating, lobbying, advising, reporting, recommending, which clearly identifies the role of the CRL as an advisory body. Not as one that is an interventionist, hands-on, dictatorial, executive-driven, administrative body. It doesn't see that right at all. Secondly, what gives the CRL the right to say that religion should be registered or not? A particular religion or a particular religious leader? What in this? It says maintain a database. But there's a big difference between a database, which is basically just a list, and issuing a license to practice, which is what registration implies, that you can or cannot practice as a religious leader. So I'm asking you as a constitutional expert, what in the Constitution gives the CRL that power? Then, just while we're talking about this, there were some comments from the chairperson of the commission that concerned me. And she said, and I quote, "Doctrine must be protected by the people within that religious, particular religious doctrine." Those are your words. Now, first of all, the Constitutional Court in De Lange has upheld the fact that they are not prepared to get involved in doctrinal debates. And they are not prepared to involve the state in doctrinal debates. in the DeLange case. So if they're not prepared to do it, and they're not prepared to involve the state in doctrinal matters, why should the CRL have the right to intervene in doctrinal matters? And why should the CRL have the power to appoint a peer council that says that this is doctrine and that's not doctrine? There was a gentleman here, a bishop from Swaziland, who said something that I found quite interesting. He said that it can't be doctrine to feed someone something. And he was talking about feeding people grass or petrol. Now, this is no disparagement to the Christian religion, but please understand where I'm coming from. It is doctrine to give someone a piece of bread or a glass of wine and say, this is the body and blood of Christ. That's feeding someone something. How is it doctrine in the one case, but not doctrine in another case? Let me come back to a particular element of... Sorry, let me just get to it. About constitutional jurisprudence. There are a number of court cases, a number of constitutional court cases, where the court has defined freedom of religion, freedom to believe, as the right to entertain such beliefs as a person chooses, not as an organization, but as an individual chooses. So my freedom of religion is what I believe. It's not what some amorphous church believes, it's what I believe. And it says, goes on, to the right to declare religious beliefs openly and without fear or hindrance of reprisal. And then it says quite categorically, and the right to manifest religious beliefs by worship and practice. So how I choose to practice my religious beliefs is my business. It's not anyone else's. It's not the state. It's not the CRL. It's not some peer review council. It's my business how I choose to practice my religion. So I'd really like some clarity from the CRL and from Professor Gutter as to how they can see that they fit into that picture. People have already spoken about the enforcement of the various compliance elements, and this ranges from municipal bylaws, which is the responsibility of the municipality to enforce, to criminal matters, which is the police, the hawks, etc., to financial, which is SARS, and customs, and so on and so forth, so I'm not going to talk to that. But I would like to talk to one issue that I don't think anybody has touched on, and that is the issue of consent. Our law, and here I'm talking again about our precedent, our legal precedent, has held that where someone voluntarily enters into an act or action, the other party can't be held liable unless the action itself is criminal. In other words, if I say, yes, you can pour ice cold water over me, that is consent. I've voluntarily entered into that. You can't tell the other person that they are wrong because they poured ice cold water over me. It's my right to say that, unless the action that they are doing is already criminal. So a lot of what these people are doing, whether it's eating snakes, or eating grass is not criminal. I can go and eat grass right now, nobody can say that I'm wrong to eat grass. If someone forces me to eat grass, that's a different story. But if someone says, yeah, eat this grass, it's going to get you a job, and I say, yeah, okay, I'll eat the grass, it's going to get me a job. You can't say that that person has done something wrong, because I have voluntarily agreed to enter into that arrangement. So I'd really like to know where the CRL comes down on consent and voluntary association and voluntary involvement in some of these practices. I'm going to leave it there. There's a lot of other questions that I have here, but I think that we've got other people who want to raise issues.
Okay. Let me check in chat. Colleagues, just bear in mind that we are still going to have many months of yourself discussing this matter. The really today what we wanted to achieve, to hear the views of those who are not members of parliament and to pose questions for them to answer if there's a question that you want to put forward. You are going to debate all these matters ourselves, whether the state must fold its arms when people are misled. also when poor people are treated. Anyway, I've never seen anyone who's rich was doing all these things. Only the most poor people are doing this thing because they're being exploited. And then we must have to be careful that we don't articulate it wrongly. That says it's right for those, it's wrong for us. Because many of us don't even go to church. And it just can't be right. That therefore we can't say anything about it. Because it's camouflage and religion when people are committing crime. I think the point, advocate, that we're raising, use the laws that are existing to arrest people who are committing crime.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is just a clarity, Chair. I know we're still going to engage a lot with this report. This morning we were looking at this Bioscope there. In the Bioscope, Chair, I've seen some people that were going beyond what was expected of them, threatening the commission, went into an extent of insulting them, leaders. We've just seen this morning. I just want to know, Chair, that threatening the commission, that is there anybody that is being, a case has been opened against them for what they were doing? Secondly, I don't see most of them here, those that were in the video this morning. Is there any engagement, Chair, with them? Are they still prepared to say that they are fighting the commission the way that they were doing this morning? Or there are any other deliberation engagement that seems like being positive as we speak right now? Just those clarity checks.
Thank you. Thank you. Mine would be few. I think what we need to know, all of us here, religion in this country are still divided on a racial line. That's one, it's a fact. And we can't deny that. Because we still have churches where white people are dominating. We still have churches for black people. So on its own, the transformation even in churches are still needed. So we still have a long way to go. Secondly, the issue of triple challenge, which is poverty, unemployment, inequality, are affecting the African black in particular. So that is why maybe it looked like we are concerned when people are being given snakes, grass and so on. Because it doesn't touch other people, but it touches the majority of this country. And we cannot fold our arms and say it's correct. We must have ways and means to assist our people, because we are leading. The other issue which I want to get a clarity is the issue of traditional leaders, traditional healers. I think also we need to get a presentation. Because to me, traditional healers, pastors, somewhere and somehow, it differ. But the notices and advertisement to say tomorrow you can get job, tomorrow you get your lover that lost you, I think that also assists the courts for divorce and all those things, if it's possible. So also we need to get their side. Now, thirdly, there's a constitutional matter. The constitution says we have 11 official languages. And I think we need to create a space where those people who don't understand or express themselves in English to be given an opportunity to express in their own languages. Must not be put on the corner that English is better. No, no, no. We have 11 official languages in this country. And we must exercise all those languages. We must try to have interpreters to interpret so that everybody will express their opinion. The issue of security. The CRL raised the issue of security. I think we must package also in future this thing. Because we've seen in the clips, other people are radical, you know, they're angry. Other pastors, they have their bodyguard and so on. To protect this CRL commission when they conduct this visit and so on, what do we do? That's another question that we must answer. The question of to say foreigners, we chase them, I don't think they can assist us. The constitution of this country says, after we stay here 5 years, we have a right to apply to be a citizen of this country. That's the constitution. Now, I think what we need to do, we need to stick on that 184 section 2D, that to educate. That will assist us a lot. That educate. For now.
No, mamulo, mamu mkwana zifalu. Usemni ngumsebe. Na mamembo kovo, usemni ngumsebe. Let's discuss these. There's an echo on the table. And that causes a lot of problems. We do have time ourselves to have quality to discuss with this fund. At the moment, you are receiving a report from the CRL and then presenting their recommendation. After we have looked at the report, it is the duty of this team to ensure that the report stands the test of time on Abu Dhabi. That also is we survive the court master. I think we have survived it anyway with a vote of no confidence, I guess. And it's just important that we do it correctly. Professor Kuto, the other issues that are raised, and Mapaluva, we can't be here until tomorrow morning. We'll have other time to engage. Professor Kuto, we wouldn't analyze the entire constitution now. What are the critical areas that are raised that can assist us? We are going to meet with you and the team. We have discussion, I think also Advocate Federals. We are going to allow our team space, whoever really wants to still have a discussion in this matter. The committee will be open for discussion. Convince us on this matter. Kuto?
Thank you very much, Chair of the Portfolio Committee. I think that you did give them numbers. Number one, I couldn't see the number one, but I could hear it very clearly. Indicated that they have opinion from constitutional experts who say what is being recommended is unconstitutional. I don't agree. There are many opinions which legal experts, senior counsel have given, which some of it is neither here nor there. So I don't think that should scare us from moving forward. I already did indicate that there are processes which can be followed. So I don't want to repeat those. Freedom of association, I already mentioned, is really not being interfered with here. It is a provision under Section 18 of the Constitution. Freedom to form, join, and maintain religious freedom of to form, join, and maintain religious associations and other organs of civil society are also provided for under section 131(1)(b). So I think there's a lot of room for associations to be formed if there's a purpose. And I think the question here, what are the ills that are facing society that we must deal with? We can't just read provisions in the Constitution in isolation of other areas. I did already mention that there is a confusion here of Section 15, which guarantees freedom of religion, and 31, which deals with forming religious associations, which include really many other religions which are already registered in many ways as NPOs and so forth, trusts. So I don't think it is a question of them submitting the list to the so that there's a database which is created. There was, I think, the last constitutional issue that was being raised, that the CRL, where does it get the powers? Or because everything is contained in Section 185 of the Constitution. But if you read 185(4), it makes it very clear that additional prescribed powers or responsibility by a national legislation. We are now dealing with creating a national legislation, but that's not all. If we read that with the CRL Act 19 of 2002, it is quite clear that it can, it has powers to summon persons to investigate, and so this is not something very new. It is a question of trying to strengthen that, but it is not something being introduced willy-nilly at this particular case. The comments on the question of language, culture, and so on, there was a deliberate decision by the CRL to just focus on religion this time. Others will come because they are as important and in many areas as damaging, but there was a deliberate reason why that is not there. Comment that the powers of the CRL ought to be refined. I don't think that the CRL is saying no. This is a final. It can't bind even the portfolio committee in Parliament. They will look at that, and I think they will be open to submission so that when they make decisions and submit the matter to the National Assembly, they would have done most of that. The comment about the Deputy Minister of Justice having said nobody can be really be held responsible for hate speech is also not very correct, because Section 16 of the Constitution is quite clear. Advocacy of hatred based on religion and other matters is excluded from freedom of expression by the Constitution. And I think that, or if you make a speech that can incite violence, imminent violence, there are limitations already in Section 16. I don't need to go into detail around that. I will leave the whole question of commercialization of religions. Most of them
are already commercialized. After all, during the colonial period process, a lot of churches were given land which was expropriated from people without compensation. They are landowners, and therefore let us pretend that these are things, it is taking new dimensions, but they have always been there. In a place like Zimbabwe, the Catholic Church is the biggest landowner, because Cecil Rhodes was busy giving them land which was taken from the people so that they can allow the church really to control the land and so on. And I think some parts of South Africa are the same. I will stop there for now. Thank you.
I'll just try and go through the issues that were identified as issues that I referred to. The fact that the doctrine must be protected by people in that doctrine. What we mean is that the Christians themselves, for instance, should defend their doctrine. And they should make sure, as you said, I'm sure by Pastor Giet, who has now left, raised the issue of the CRL is committed to say, we are not dealing with doctrine here. We are dealing with practitioners. And we are doing something to resolve a particular problem. But issues of doctrine, I always say to pastors when I talk to them and religious leaders and others, take the Bible and put it into the cupboard. And then let's talk about everything else. Because these things are not biblical. The problems we're faced with have nothing to do with the Bible. They have everything to do with human beings doing wrong things. And all we're saying is that the Bible is in the cupboard, the human being is in front of us. Let's deal with the actions of the human being who is doing wrong things to people because they are poor, they are unemployed, and they are experiencing inequality in the hope that their lives will improve. So those issues, as the Honorable Member said, cannot be divorced from the challenges we're faced with. The reason why a particular religious leader would commercialize religion and sell things to make money, I think it's for that person to explain why they're doing it. But from a normal perspective, I would say it's nice to make money. They are doing it so that they make money. Why they want to make money is another story. Because, you know, you shouldn't want to get rich if you are a religious leader. It's a place of sacrifice and serving a higher being. But if people abandon that and start making money out of people, that's what we're trying to deal with. We're trying to solve the problem of people being exploited. But some of the things which I think the Honorable Member has raised, to say there's the issue of consent, which I can't find now. Yes, that's what we struggle with. Because when these things happen to people, they have consented. And they say, if you are arrested, we'll be giving evidence for the religious leader to say, we wanted this. So it cannot be solved in the normal way of a crime being committed, whether the victim and the perpetrator. Here the victim is participating willingly for reasons of faith, for reasons of hope, for reasons of a better life in future. So we're dealing with a very difficult situation where it can't be that use the laws. There are men here, people are committing a crime, just arrest them and lock them up. Because exactly that, Honorable Man, consent. We've looked at this thing back to front. We looked at the issue of one of the pastors who was there on TV, put a huge speaker on top of someone. And the person was okay with it, and the pastor was jumping on the speaker, and a few bones were broken. And we tried to organize something around, you know, let's get the pastor arrested. They said no, because the person gave consent, and the person is not dead. You see, the person is still alive, and the person says, I wanted him to do it, and when I'm out of here, I'm going back to doing it again. So the issue of consent is at the core, honorable member, of what we're struggling with. Because we need to then go around the normal laws and find a way of going around those laws, because they cannot be, you can't say it's criminal when the participants are willing and hit, and they are not mentally challenged. They are okay with it. So it's difficult. Situations call for difficult proposals all the time. We need to solve the situation, and we need to then say, let's do what needs to be done, as the Constitution says, that you can limit the rights if we are trying to resolve a particular problem. And I think those issues we can raise later on. The issue of, has there been a case that has been opened against some of these people? Yes. We were, let's just say, lucky enough that one of them wrote and threatened and signed off his name and his cell phone number. We laid charges against that one. He is now in jail serving a 3-year sentence, because even the magistrate thought the threats were quite serious. Because even in court, he was saying, even this laws here won't protect you from us. We will deal with you. So it's at that stage where, you know, you just have to pray that, you know, God protects you. Because even the police will not give us security. We've applied, they've come to assess and all sorts of other things, but there's been no state security at all. So the CRL must protect some of us with the means that the CRL has, which was raised with the portfolio committee several times. I must say that some of them that you saw there, I can quote Bishop Zondo because his leader is there, were found each other with Bishop Zondo. He's quite... okay, now, you know, people get angry, and when you sit down with them, you know, you find a mediation, and they find each other. But I must say that the other prophets, Prophet Khadebe and Prophet Mboro, we sent people to ask them to mediate, and they've totally refused. And we sent several people to mediate and let's talk, let's try and resolve issues. They will not. They refuse to cooperate, they refuse to do anything. So you win some and you lose some. I think the issue of traditional healers, yes, we're dealing with that, those issues as well, in terms of traditional healers, because the issue of, you know, advertising and saying these things will do this to your body, buy this traditional medicine and you're going to win the lotto. We've had many complaints from local traditional healers who claim that it's traditional healers from outside who are doing that. We've investigated some of the cases that were specific, we've discovered that they are, but I wouldn't say all of them, but we'd say that we know that some of the problems are linked to that. And we're trying to say the issue of advertising, as we said in our report, should be looked into, because it's all in the advertising that people get hooked. Once you see an advert that tells you, oh, you'll win the lottery, reasoning stops at some point. And then you give away all your money, hoping the numbers will come to you at night. So it's those realities that you're saying we're looking across. And then the issue of interpreters is, when we meet with communities, we always make sure that we've got interpreters, even sign language, etc., but interpreters in terms of language. I don't know if you have something.
No, I think just one point. I just wanted to say this, that sometimes the issue of consent is a very problematic issue, in the sense that the one who consents actually has perceived promise of what is derived in the action. If the only thing we look at is the consent only, I think we are really missing the point. Issue of knowledge and ignorance play a pivotal role. And there's no way in which you can equate somebody who is knowledgeable about the matters of faith, making you believe that this is going to happen to you, and say, no. Already by virtue of the disparity in terms of quality of understanding, that creates two levels of individuals. So one is the follower of somebody who dictates that this is the outcome. Even if the outcome is not what the person perceives, at the end there is no recourse. So we need to, these are philosophical questions, because the primacy of reason is what enlightenment is all about. That's why they would say the only good thing is knowledge and the only bad thing is ignorance. So that distinction is a very critical one. And in engaging these issues, we should not be oblivious of the environment in which the two levels come together, but the one is lesser than the other in the equation. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Chair.
Professor Mutum, I thought willing buyer, willing seller is fun. If I'm willing to sell, you're willing to buy, what is the problem? Why then the Credit Act? Why then the Credit Act? Willing buyer, willing seller, anyway. We got rid of that policy, what doesn't work. But the point that I'm raising, though, is that this is the beginning of a very complex matter. There are no easy answers. There are no easy answers. I thought all of us, we agree that the state has a responsibility in protecting vulnerable with society. All this thing, willing buyer, willing seller, to vulnerable people doesn't work. Let alone when there's indoctrination, and is worse. Really. It's like saying that we don't arrest those who are bombing us, because also there was a willing buyer, willing seller. They're not forced. It's just a very complex situation. We must just be careful that we don't take it as if we don't have the right to defend those who are vulnerable. Sure, the Constitution, the Constitutional Court, Mason, will interpret it. Will interpret it correctly. South Africans have a right to take us to court, and the court may decide that we are wrong, we are right. They will take a decision in terms of interpretation. Not in terms of the subset, in terms of processes and interpretation. I think we should work out this report correctly and give ourselves time, allow colleagues who are here who got other views to assist us. I think advocate already are going to present something and that will assist us, and the commission is here. The bishop, all of them, generally, they've expressed their views. But it seems out of what they were saying, generally, that there are a lot of other issues. But they do think that it's important to start to regulate some of this matter. And then I think all of them were speaking, very few of them, and were rejected that. Even the bishop, I think it's the bishop who was sitting next to you, and the advocate, he's very young to be a bishop. I thought that his grace, I thought that about bishop, but it's a little bit older. There are pastors and bishop. I thought that in fact you take time to be a bishop. It seems nowadays you can wake up early in the morning you're a bishop. Okay. No, debate it one day. But the point that I'm raising, that we are very pleased that the team is here. All the bishops, leaders of our faith-based organization, research bodies, and other South Africans who are really concerned about what is happening in communities. And the members of parliament, we are here. Those that deal with women and youth and persons with disabilities are here. Members of parliament, we are going to look at this matter. We try to apply our mind. We'll try again to re-engage with many colleagues who have made very important contributions. Try again to persuade each other. At the end, of course, we'll take it to National Assembly. National Assembly may also turn it back. It may also accept it, may also reject it. And then, of course, at the end, South Africans have a right to go to court. Show the court then would interpret whether what we are talking about is right or not. But before that, we are going to take some time to really engage on some of the issues that are raised. And we are very grateful that the bishops, all of them, really came in to give the input. We highly appreciate this. I thought when I was young, Thomas Ondo, I was told that don't talk about religion and soccer and beauty, because no one wins. No one wins. Religion, soccer, and beauty. The parade, of course, was defeated. But I mustn't talk about that. Because I won't win it. You must know that next to me already is rejecting what I'm saying. Despite the fact that sexually they lost the game. But it doesn't agree with me on that. I'm just saying that it's a very complex. Simply means that we must apply our mind, all of us, and try to ensure that the Constitution is there to guide us. Where we can interpret it correctly, the court is there to interpret it correctly for us. I think we are lucky in South Africa, a constitutional democracy. Everyone has the right to express his or her view. You may persuade us, or you may not persuade us. But if you don't persuade us, doesn't mean that is the end of the process. You can still take us to the learned judges who may then interpret it rightly or wrongly for us. If you, of course, you are wrong, you'll be wrong. If you are right, you are right. But let us engage. Let us talk about these matters. I found the religious leaders here also saying what is happening on the ground in many parts of the country is not correct. Themselves, it seems that they are condemning it completely. None of them says it's correct to feed people snakes. It seems very clear that thing that themselves they say this is not correct. They must deal with it and accordingly. And then of course the state is not interfering with religion. But the state have a right to protect every South African, even non-South African, as long as they're inside the boundaries of our country or the borders of our country. We have a right to do so. Regardless that they came yesterday or today, as long as they are here, they got their rights to be protected by the state. And then also the point that they are not the cause of our problem. Some are, of course, they may be silly, but not all of them are doing that. Anyway, there's Professor Kuto here. There are Professor Kuto here. There are many of them who are making meaningful contribution in the development of society. It shouldn't happen that because one person somewhere causing problem, and then everyone therefore is causing problem. It's not correct. It's just not correct that we do so. Particularly as members of parliament who are well informed, have a lot of research and everywhere we do that. I think we'll address it as we move on. And we will be in touch with the bishops. We'll be in touch with the team that is here. Those who are want again to appear before the committee, they are free to do so. Meetings of parliament, all of them, are open to public. They are open to public, unless, of course, a decision is made by the House that this one will be closed for particular reasons. Therefore, we'll have engagement on this matter. And my appeal is that it's a very complex issue. No easy answers, Sis Togo. But you have tried your level best to assist us to give a report. We appreciate that. And the team. Let us work it out. Let us allow every person to express his or her view. They may convince us. They may persuade us. Honorable Melham is the team is here. Of course, we'll engage with Professor Kutu, even outside the meeting. You must wait until the meeting, the Professor Kutu is available, engage with him. Even outside the meeting, try to clarify some of the issues that we are raising. We are very thankful and we are very grateful that you all attended. My son, it's really an honor that all the bishops are here. They came, they discussed with us. We wish you well, all the bishops, and hopefully when we meet with you as congregants, now at least you'll be brave enough to call to order if the priest is doing something wrong. And then we'll start talking about that. Makaula. And now we'll
go.
Not yet. No, colleagues, we thank you for members of parliament. Thank also for the staff that organized this workshop. Hopefully, we are going to meet again with the commission, look at the report ourselves, having enough time. This workshop was meant for introduction of the report. Therefore, we still have the process after we are back in July, August. We are going for constituencies. For 1 month, members of parliament will be visiting all the churches ourselves to know this report, is it correct, what they are saying. If you are not correct, Chair, we'll reject the report. If you are correct, we'll then endorse the report. But we are going there ourselves to see Nyoga and Makundu and all this. And then we are going to see it, Mam Kaula. We are going to take us also to get that area, the experience. We are thankful for that. I think members of the portfolio committee will request them to remain. Mam Kaula went on harm, but my members will remain. Thank four members really of the women. I think they should take charge of this this time. Because majority of people who are suffering in this area are women. Young women. And therefore ourselves we must take charge of the situation. This is not the first meeting and the last with you, but we are still going to have joint portfolio committee meeting. Thank you very much. The meeting will be adjourned. Thank you for the team, and please, the team, the committee will remain. It's great. Thank you very much, Bishop. Thank you for coming to see us in Cape Town. And the blessing, I think, are with us now. Thank you very much, Grace, for this. Thank you very much for the team. Thank you, Advocate. Thank you for your input. We can still meet. Even today, we can meet. To make us easy to understand. Okay. Set up another time. But it's always good for you to attend, to come as a person. Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.